This is Kathy bringing you the Southern Champaign County Today newspaper for Wednesday the 25th. This serves all of Southern Champaign County. Headline, Tolono Board Passes Parent Responsibility Ordinance by Diane Ducey. At the most recent Tolono Village Board of Trustee meeting, Ordinance 225016, the Parent Responsibility Ordinance, was unanimously passed. A Tolono Park District Commissioner and other concerned citizens were present for its passing after hearing about vandalism in our parks. Toilet pictures posted online that were damaged with a hammer. When unlawful and destructive behavior occurs with a minor child, parents and legal guardians can now be held civilly responsible, in addition to the normal restitution that could be required for misconduct such as curfew violations, damages resulting from vandalism acts, or other infractions. This should play a vital role to help ensure parents or guardians are guiding their children as we all work together to foster a safe and respectful environment for everyone in Tolono. Village Trustee Jared Robbins did a lot of the legwork on this ordinance for the community. Village President Terrence Stuber commented that we would prefer to never have to issue a single fine listed in this ordinance. We would much rather our citizens, including the minors among us, learn to police themselves so we wouldn't have to do so. However, we know some simply will not, and it is for that reason that this ordinance exists. If you do what is right, you will never have to be concerned with this ordinance. But if you choose to do what is wrong, the village's law enforcement officers have a mechanism in this parental responsibility ordinance for gaining compliance. The Village of Tolono always has new ordinances posted with meeting minutes in the tolonoil.us. There has been a social media input about these recent moves from our administration and about how people feel about it under the Tolono Wire. And just looking at the spotlight for South County, St. Patrick Catholic Charities Tolono, Illinois Free Food Pantry every Monday from 5 to 6:30 and Friday from 9 to 11:30. The Giving Place is open every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. in Tolono to help families in need of food items. The third Thursday of every month, Tolono Fun Day Committee meeting at 6:30 at the police station. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile comes the first Tuesday of every month at the Sydney Community Building in the parking lot from 12:30 to 1. On the 26th, Sydney American Legion hosts the American Legion Department of Illinois Champaign County Council of the American Legion at 7 p.m. On July 7th, the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meet at 7 p.m. At 7:21, the Sydney American Legion meeting is at 6 p.m., and 7:25 and 7:26 Sydney Fun Days. If you have an upcoming event you would like to see featured in Spotlight, email Jamie at thecounty-chronicle.com. This headline, Sydney American Legion Post 433 discusses post-maintenance, raffle, and veterans memorial. June 16th, Sydney American Legion Post 433 meeting coverage by Ann Roten, SCCTP News Correspondents. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 met on Monday, June 16th at 6 p.m. at the post home located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney. Post 433 Commander Bill Hinch brought the meeting to order at 6:06 p.m. following opening ceremonies and a prayer being given by Post 433 Chaplain Fred Olds with 12 members and one guest, your correspondent in attendance. Commander Hinch asked members if they had read the Monday, May 19th meeting minutes that had been emailed or mailed to post members and if there were any additions or corrections. Legionnaire Mel Goodman reported that Post 433 historian Rollo Cather Henry was not part of the Post 433 Honor Guard for Memorial Day, but was included as being, and that he was there but not included as being part of the guard in the meeting minutes. There were no further additions or corrections, and the meeting minutes were approved with the corrections following a motion from First Vice Commander Glenn Dillman and a second to the motion by Legionnaire Mike Shepherd. Post 433 finance officer Bill McLean gave the May finance report. The report was approved as read following a motion from Sergeant-at-Arms David Dillman and a second to the motion by Legionnaire Danny Klein. Finance officer McLean additionally reported that Legionnaire Susan Mantell will be taking over as finance officer for the next meeting. There was no American Legion Illinois Premier Boys State Committee report. 433 Adjutant Bill McLean read Sydney American Legion Post 433 member Larry Kamen's obituary and passed around a thank you note that had been sent to the post by the family. Larry was a U.S. Marine veteran serving from 1958 to 1964. Adjutant McLean went on to report that he had had the consolidated post reports to fill out and send in to the American Legion Department of Illinois, and that he needed to do that soon so that he would be able to get the new membership cards for the 2025-26 membership year, as they are not sent out until the department receives the reports. Adjutant McLean additionally reported that he had information about the 106th American Legion Department of Illinois Convention taking place July 9th through 12th in Springfield. The 106th American Legion National Convention taking place in Tampa Bay, Florida, August 22nd to the 28th, and that anyone interested in attending should let him know. Sick call relief and employment were discussed. The need to work on the post-home boiler check valve was discussed under unfinished business. Legionnaire Mike Schumacher and Post 433 Adjutant Bill McLean will work on it. Amanda Hench reported that the American flags placed at Veterans Graves for Memorial Day were placed too deep in the ground, and they need to try and place them not so deeply so they are easier to remove when the cemetery is cleaned up next year, under unfinished business. The need to get Post 433 meat raffle tickets sold was brought up by Adjutant Bill McLean and Commander Bill Hench under old business. Legionnaire Susan Mantell and Sergeant-at-Arms David Dillman reported that they needed tickets to sell. The raffle drawing takes place on Saturday, July 26th at the Sydney Fun Days in downtown Sydney. A lengthy discussion headed by Post 433 Adjutant Bill McLean took place amongst members in attendance about the Sydney Veterans Memorial concerning inclusion rules. Veterans from both the Village of Sydney and the Sydney Township, and the cost of the memorial being shared by the Village of Sydney and the Sydney Township. Adjutant McLean will speak with Village of Sydney President John Finn to see about scheduling a meeting with Post 433 members, the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, and the Sydney Township Board to discuss the memorial. Post 433 Adjutant Bill McLean reported that the most recent Autumn Fields and Savoy Veterans Breakfast took place on Tuesday, May 20th at 9 a.m., that the next one is scheduled to take place on Tuesday, June 17th, and all veterans are welcome, and the breakfasts are held on the third Tuesday of every month under old business. Post 433 Commander Bill Hench asked members in attendance if they wanted to be in the Saturday, July 26th Sunday Sydney Fun Days Parade under new business. Members said they did so. Plans are in the making as to who will be participating. Commander Hench reported that the Sydney American Legion Post 433 will host the American Legion Department of Illinois Champaign County Council of the American Legion Thursday, June 26, 7 p.m. meeting, and that the post needs to serve a meal following the meeting under new business. It was decided to get chicken from the St. Joseph IGA as the main course, along with chips and potato salad. The election of officers will take place at this meeting. American Legion Department of Illinois Champaign County Council of the American Legion Commander Bob Henderson is taking a second year as commander and will be re-elected into office at the meeting. Sydney American Legion Post 433 Commander Bill Hench brought the meeting to adjournment at 7:14 p.m. following a motion from Legionnaire Danny Klein, a second to the motion by Post 433 Judge Advocate Susan McLean, and the closing ceremony and prayer from Post 433 Chaplain Fred Olds. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the post home located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, July 21st at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend, and all monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held at the post home. This headline reads, Pritzker signs $55.1 billion state budget reliant on $700 million of new taxes. Republicans unanimously oppose. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed Illinois fiscal year 2026 budget into law Monday, taking shots at President Trump's budget management to defend hard choices state lawmakers are forced to make this year. The $55.1 billion spending plan, set to take effect July 1st, is the largest in state history and is supported by a $55.3 billion in anticipated revenue, including more than $700 million in new taxes and more than $500 million in one-time revenues. Democrats approved the budget shortly before midnight on May 31st, with only a handful of Democrats opposing it and all Republicans unanimously voting against it. The budget's passage came after months of discussion about closing an initially projected $3 billion deficit and growing concerns about Trump's treatment of state funding in Washington. Pritzker, a possible 2028 presidential candidate, used Monday's budget signing ceremony in Chicago as an opportunity to draw a contrast between his and Trump's budgets. While the Trump administration goes on Fox News lying about being fiscally responsible, Illinois is showing a better way, balancing the budget while maintaining the programs that most people rely on. Congress is about to pass a federal budget that has one of the largest budget deficits ever in a year without a war or a pandemic. By contrast, Illinois is balancing its budget and prudently improving its fiscal condition, he said. Pritzker and the other Democratic leaders acknowledged that crafting the FY26 budget was challenging, but continues to make investments that Democrats believe are priorities. Discretionary spending will increase by less than 1% in FY26, Pritzker said. Despite the minimal increase, the FY26 budget still spends about $2 billion more than FY25. Democrats ace the challenges and certainly head on, and the result is a budget that is truly balanced with no gimmicks, House Speaker Chris Welsh, Democrat of Hillside, said. But that's not how Republicans view the budget's fund sweeps and delayed transfers that free up hundreds of millions of dollars that can be used in FY26. This approach sets Illinois up for failure by FY27 and continues a pattern of short-term thinking, House Minority Leader Tony McComb, Republican of Savannah, said in a statement. Senate Minority Leader John Curran, Republican of Downers Grove, condemned lawmakers for failing to deliver significant tax cuts since Pritzker took office in 2019, when Illinois' budget totaled about $40 billion. You know it's a bad budget when it's based on nearly $1 billion in tax increases and enhancements, he said in a statement. The governor also used his broad authority to reduce a pair of technical errors in the budget. The changes lower spending by $161.2 million from what lawmakers passed. Tax increases on tobacco and vape products businesses. The tax plan will raise $709 million in new revenue through what House Majority Leader Robin Gable, Democrat of Evanston, characterized as smart new sources of revenue. They include new taxes on businesses, sports betting, and tobacco and vape products, according to a list provided by the Senate Democratic Caucus. The budget will not raise personal income, corporate income, or sales taxes after Pritzker told reporters that he will veto any budget containing broad-based tax increases just days before the bill passed. The largest sum of new taxes, $336 million, are on businesses outside of Illinois that lawmakers call leveling the playing field and will require businesses to pay more income tax to the state on their profits. Consumers will face new taxes on specific items, including taxes on tobacco, vaping, and other nicotine products, which are increasing to 45% to raise $50 million. An existing telecommunications tax will also rise from 7% to 8.65% and raise $49 million to fund the statewide 988 hotline. A new tax on sports bets will charge betting sites 25 cents for the first 20 million wagers and 50 cents for each bet following that. It's projected to raise $36 million. Sports betting sites FanDuel and DraftKings have both announced that they will implement 50-cent transaction fees on Illinois customers in response to the tax. Short-term rentals will have to begin paying the state's hotel operators tax. The charges are already applied to hotels in the state, and Airbnb already pays it voluntarily, but more companies like Vrbo will now be required to pay the tax, expected to raise an additional $10 million. A pair of tax amnesty programs are expected to raise $228 million. Those programs are meant to incentivize taxpayers to pay overdue taxes. Fund sweeps, delayed transfers free up more for spending. The budget deploys a series of tactics designed to free up more money for spending in the general fund in FY26 without repeating as a revenue source for the following year's budget. It suspends the monthly transfer to the rainy day fund for 1 year, freeing up $45 million for general fund use. Pritzker has taken pride in the fund's increase in recent years as it's grown to a balance of $2.3 billion, up from less than $60,000 when he took office. The fund is still estimated to grow by $161 million from interest and contributions from other funds in FY26. The state will also pause the final transfer of motor fuel sales tax revenue to the road fund in order to free up $171 million. That scheduled transfer was set in motion by the state's 2019 infrastructure plan, with the sales tax supporting bond debt taken out to complete road and bridge projects. This year was to be the final year of incremental transfers that took place over the last 5 years. The budget package also establishes a new $100 million bridge fund that the governor can tap into in the event of unanticipated delays in or failures of revenues. The measure, an apparent nod to the uncertainty of federal funding amid ongoing congressional budget negotiations, will come from money swept from 57 different funds. When combined with the tax amnesty program, the fund sweeps and delayed transfers add up to at least $544 million of one-time revenue in this year's state budget that will not be available in FY27. Health and Human Services. The most notable change to health care funding is the elimination of the Health Benefits for Immigrant Adults, or HBIA, program that has provided certain low-income non-citizens between the ages of 42 and 64 with state health care benefits akin to Medicaid. Eliminating the program saves the state $330 million, but the $110 million Health Benefits for Immigrant Seniors, or HBIS, remains in place. This was part of the challenge that we had to address, Pritzker said. It was a program that had been growing significantly in cost. I do believe that everybody should have health care. I also know that we have to live within our means in the state of Illinois. HBIA's elimination comes after a recent audit found that the two programs have cost the state at least $1.6 billion since their inception, far exceeding the original estimates for the program. Last year, the state put new guardrails in place to limit enrollment into the programs and reduce costs through co-pays and other measures. HBIA's elimination also comes as Congress debates a domestic policy plan that would reduce reimbursements to states that provide health care benefits to non-citizens. In anticipation of broader reductions to health care and Medicaid reimbursements to the state, Illinois lawmakers also increased spending on other health care and social service programs. $40 million for federally qualified health centers. These centers could provide care for people who lose coverage under HBIA turn. $18 million from the General Revenue Fund for 5 safety net hospitals in the state's Medicaid Managed Care Program. Another $100 million from Fund for Illinois Future will go to support the Medicaid Managed Care Program at 12 other safety net hospitals. $60 million for administrative expenses for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That's a $20 million increase from FY25 as Congress has proposed requiring states to cover half of the administrative costs. $263.7 million for Home Illinois, a program created to reduce homelessness in Illinois. Housing advocates calculated that between Home Illinois and other housing line items, the budget includes $354 million in funding. That's about a $14.6 million decrease from a year ago, which marks about double of what Pritzker proposed cutting in homelessness funding in February. An 80-cent hourly wage increase for direct service professionals who service individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in community care settings. However, overall flat funding for the program means 305 positions in the program will be eliminated, according to the They Deserve More Coalition. Community care program workers in the Illinois Department on Aging will receive a 75-cent hourly wage increase. A new $25 million prescription drug affordability fund to support certain pharmacies in Illinois in competition against larger pharmacy benefit managers. $15 million for the medical debt relief pilot program that purchases medical debt from patients at a fraction of the total debt. A $4 million increase for the Department of Children and Family Services aimed at hiring 100 additional staff members. A child tax credit created in 2024 at 20% of the earned income tax credit will double to 40%. And in education, the state's evidence-based funding model for K-12 schools calls for $350 million in additional funding each year, with a portion of that going to property tax relief fund and the rest directly to schools. The proposed budget fully funds the K-12 education increase at $307 million, but does not add $43 million in property tax relief funds. Funding for higher education operational expenses is only going up 1%. Pritzker had proposed 3%. Democrat budget leaders have said the spending plan includes ways to increase funding by an additional 2% if there are significant cuts in federal funding for higher education, however. And now The Night Sky by David Leakey. From June 25th to July 1st, the new moon occurs this evening, but don't bother looking for it. New moons happen when the moon sits between the sun and our earth, so you can't see them unless there's an eclipse, and there isn't one this month, but it does mean we'll be seeing the waxing crescent moon in the evening sky in the next few days. If you look low in the west-northwest, just after sunset tomorrow evening, you might see the moon to be the right of the planet Mercury. Saturday night is another open house at the CU Astronomical Society's observatory in southwest Champaign County. If skies are clear, join us for a telescopic look at the stars of summer beginning at dusk, and it's free. CCUAS.org for directions and details. The moon will trek eastward with each evening until Sunday evening when it's just below the planet Mars. Can you see the planet with just your eyes? This headline, Philo Library Weekly Newsletter. Well, summer arrived, and it is hot to say the least. With the rain we had last week, the crops are shooting up, and the knee-high by the 4th of July is more likely shoulder-high from what I've seen driving around. I hope you're enjoying your summer and reading some good books during the hot days when it's better to stay in out of the heat. We received a book shipment the other day. It had a new Mary Alice Munro book, Where the Rivers Merge, in large print. It takes place in the Low Country of South Carolina and begins in 1908 with a young girl living an idyllic life on her family's estate. Over the years, wars, storms, and family turmoil have changed the girl, now an old woman, and the estate she has tried to save. This is a story of unyielding love, lessons learned, profound sacrifice, and the indomitable spirit of one woman. We also have the new Freda McFadden book, The Tenant. I just read the synopsis of the story, and it sounds pretty creepy. If you're a McFadden fan, you might want to go online and get your name to the list to be next to read her new book, or call us and we'll put you on in the computer. We received John Sansford's Lethal Prey. Our scheduled programming for the month of June has come to an end, and we will be having pop-up opportunities in July. So check with the library for this column for quick, fun things to do at the Philo Library. Besides, check out books and DVDs and other materials. Thanks for reading, and stay cool. This week at Tolono Library, as June is coming to an end, we do still have a few fun things, and July is full of fun. On Thursday, 6/26, come grab a kid's craft take-home kit. Everything you need to make a pinwheel will be included in the paper bag. The library will be closed on Saturday, 6/28, for Tolono Fun Days. Wednesday, July 2nd, we have Coffee Talk from 9 to 10 a.m. July is gearing up to be a fun-filled month. We will have a reptile show, fun with fossils, Saturday in the park, a magician, coffee talk, teen lounge, and Harry Potter trivia night. We still have our summer reading program happening through August 2nd. Sign up on our website as everything is digital this year using Beanstack. We have an all-new children's corner here at the library. Toys and puzzles in a wonderful area to play. Don't forget about our 1,000 books before kindergarten program. Sign up your little one and they can get their name on the wall plus a great prize at the end. Our hours will be changing beginning July 1st. The new hours will be Monday, Thursday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and closed on Sunday. As always, please visit our Facebook page and website for information on all of our upcoming events. The Homer Class of 65 donates books for all ages. The Homer High School class of 1965 donated all of these books to the Homer Library. What a great way to continue giving back to your community. Children's picture books such as Mr. Fox's Game of No by David LaRochelle, The Couch Potato by Jory John, I'm Sorry You Got Mad by Kyle Lukoff, Hey, That's My Monster by Amanda Knoll, junior books Cat on the Run and Hidden Layers by Aaron Blabby, Cold War correspondent Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales No. 11, A Korean War Tale by Nathan Hale, Blades of Freedom, Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales No. 10, A Tale of Haiti, Napoleon and Louisiana Purchase by Nathan Hale, All Ears by Stuart Gibbs, The Campground Kids, Christmas Chaos by C.R. Fulton, The Campground Kids, Olympic Pursuit by C.R. Fulton, The Campground Kids, Joshua Tree Mirage by C.R. Fulton, and in adult fiction and nonfiction, Nightshade by Michael Connelly, A Mind of Her Own by Danielle Steele, Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, The Spy and the Traitor, The Greatest Espionage Story of the Cold War by Ben McIntyre, and The League, How Five Rivals Created the NFL and Launched the Sports Empire by John Eisenberg. Master the Art of Canning with Illinois Extension Summer Workshop Series. Learn how to safely preserve fresh produce and enjoy homemade goods year-round at Illinois Extension's Summer Canning Workshop Series. Join nutrition and wellness educator Rachel Mannon from 9 a.m. to noon at 201 West Kenyon Road, Suite 3 in Champaign for hands-on classes on different canning techniques and recipes. Each workshop features a different topic. And the one coming up is August 21st, salsa, and you have to register by August 14th. Participants will make a product in each session to take home while learning about proper food safety, preservation methods, and the satisfaction of preparing pantry staples from scratch. There's been a real resurgence of interest around traditional kitchen skills like canning, said Rachel Mannon, Illinois Extension Nutrition and Wellness Educator. It's not only a practical way to preserve your harvest, but also a fun, rewarding way to stock your pantry with homemade goodness. Each workshop is $15, which helps cover the cost of canning materials. Space is limited, so early registration is strongly encouraged at go.illinois.edu/canning. And the Giving Place weekly newsletter and upcoming events. God's dream is that you and I and all of us will realize that we are family, that we are made for forgiveness and for goodness and for compassion. And that's a saying from Desmond Tutu. The Giving Place started as a way for our church and other community churches to minister to the Unit 7 school district and help those in need. The ministry will continue for as long as we are able. If you know of any families in Unit 7 that are in need, please encourage them to visit TGP on Wednesday from 4 to 6. On Wednesday, the Giving Place served 3 families, none of those were new, 15 people and 8 children. Food totaled $250, 5 boxes at $50 a box. Thanks to Linda, Joellen, Karen, Susan, Dale, and Mike for serving our clients on Wednesday night. We are always looking for people willing to volunteer for Wednesday night food and clothing distribution. Contact Robert Bleichner if you would like to volunteer. Feel free to visit some Wednesday and see all the blessings that are happening and maybe become a part of it. That was written by Mike Williams. There's a free medical clinic coming to Paris. It's the remote area medical, and it provides free quality health care for those in need. They can do dental, vision, and regular medical care. It's on a free, first-come, first-served, no ID required, June 28th and 29th. At Paris High School in 14040 East 1200th Road in Paris. For more information, you can check it out on ramusa.org or you can call 865-579-1530. That's 865-579-1530. And I'll have time for part of the Sydney Scoop. Look for your correspondence June 16th Sydney American Legion Post meeting, which we read earlier in this show. The Sydney American Legion will host the American Legion Department Council of the American Legion on Thursday, June 26th. That already happened. They had an election of officers at that meeting, and it looks like Legion Commander Bob Henderson is taking a second year as commander and will be reelected in that office. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance and are at the Sydney Community Building parking lot on 211 East Main Street in Sydney the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday they will be in town is this coming Tuesday, July 1st, and folks can visit the food bank website at www.eifoodbank.org for more information. The next regular meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place Monday, July 7th at the Sydney Community Building on East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. And that's all we have time for today. I hope you enjoy the news from Southern Champaign County. This is Kathy wishing you a great weekend.